Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Yes, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Yes, through me. Safe thus far, and his grace will lead me home. Yes, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. And when we shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Yes, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Yes, I was blind, but now I see. Are you thankful for his grace tonight? Yes, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch.
Oh, can we worship him? Can we thank him for his grace? Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for those mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? He's worthy. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We exalt your holy name, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. from your passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm glad there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody thankful for the blood tonight?
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for Calvary, for the blood that you shed for us. Lord, where would we be? Hallelujah. Oh, does anybody know we serve a good God? Amen. We serve a good God. We serve a great God. If it wasn't for the blood, if it wasn't for the blood, where would you be tonight? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. It's good to see everybody here in the house of the Lord. Why don't you turn to your neighbor? Amen. Tell them how happy you are that they are in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the people of God. Amen. Are you thankful to be a part of God's church? Amen. And it's good to be back in God's house. Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. No place that I would rather be than right here. Amen. There's a lot of places you could be tonight. You could be in the hospital, in a cemetery somewhere.
But here we are in the presence of the Lord. Somebody say revival. Somebody else shout revival. Somebody say invite. Amen. Let's invite someone to the house of the Lord. Revival service tomorrow night. Everybody say 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock prayer. Our service begins with prayer. We want to come and invite the presence of the Lord in. Amen. I want the presence of the Lord. I'm glad you're here, but I want Jesus to be here. 7 o'clock revival service tomorrow night. Also, our Sunday services Sunday morning and Sunday night again. Let's fill the house. Somebody say, fill the house. Amen. When there's a need in the house, God wants to touch that need. But we've got to get them here. We've got to compel them to come. Amen. So let's do our part, and God very well, He will do His. Leadership, all those that are in leadership, say amen. Amen. Monday night, January the 10th at 6 o'clock, we will have our business meeting, our leadership meeting here. So let's be on time so we can begin at 6 o'clock. Amen. As our ushers are coming here, we want to wait on you here tonight for your Wednesday night tithe and offering. Has God been good? Has God blessed you? Amen. Are there any cheerful givers tonight? Not begrudgingly, half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, God has been good to us. We want to pray on the remaining part of this service that God would move. We want to pray for this offering, that God would bless the offering here tonight. We do want to continue praying for our sister Hale, for recovery and strength. All is going well, and we're so thankful for that. But let's continue to pray for her and Pastor. Amen. God touch our leader daily. Amen. I hope that's your prayer. Daily, touch our pastor. Touch our pastor's wife. We want to continue praying for Sister Mary for recovery also from her surgery. And we want to pray for Sister Carrie Lou tonight, is sick in body. Sister Lydia has a special need tonight. We want to pray on her behalf. Also for Anthony Garcia for healing. And we want to pray that God would touch him tonight. For Ephraim Valdez for healing in his body. He has lost vision in his right eye. He's going to be going in for some tests. But we know a God that is able. Do you have faith in God? Do you have trust in God? If you have an unspoken request tonight, why don't you just wave a hand. And together, can you lift that petition unto the Lord? Here tonight, Jesus, we come before you. Lord, there's no other name. Lord, it is in your name. There's healing. There's deliverance. Lord, everything that we need, it is in you. It's through you. It is by you. I pray here tonight, God. Lord, you see the needs of your people. I pray that you will touch every uplifted hand, every unspoken request here tonight, the needs of your people. Lord, we are coming before you. Lord, we are seeking. We are knocking. We are asking. In the great name of Jesus, Lord, that you would move on our behalf tonight. Lord, for these that are sick in body, it is by your stripes. For Ephraim tonight, Lord, you see the complications. Lord, you know what's going on. I pray that you'll touch him tonight. Lord, you are able to restore vision. Lord, I pray, touch him tonight. God, our faith is in you. I pray today, Lord, for Anthony Garcia, touch his body. Lord, for Sister Lydia, the need that she has. I pray for Sister Carrie Lou tonight. Sister Mary Salgado. Lord, for Sister Hale, I pray, touch their bodies. Give them strength and healing. God, let your virtue flow through them tonight. Lord, in the remaining part of this service, Lord, talk to us. Meet with us tonight, God. I pray, bless this offering. Bless the giver tonight. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. 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 Let's give and worship here tonight.
Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Thanks, I give you thanks.
Could we do that here tonight? Can we give the Lord some thanks? Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for that blood that you shed. We thank you, Lord God, for this new life you have made available to us. We are blessed. We are blessed. Amen. Praise God. We do, amen, want to bring our attention here this evening to this time and reason for what I refer to as a very sacred moment in the church. We are, as it was in the days of Moses, the Bible talks about the Passover, and that they were to every family was to take a lamb of the first fruit or the first of the flock, and it had to be a lamb without any blemish, without any type at all of handicap. He could not be blind, could not be a halt, could not be lame, but it had to be a perfect a specimen of a sacrifice. They were to take that lamb. They were to slay the lamb. They were to literally put its blood over the doorpost. And it's a long, drawn-out occasion that had to literally take place, for the death angel was to pass over the midnight hour. And the homes in which the blood had not been applied, the death angel would strike, and that firstborn in that family would perish. And this is what was literally being commemorated on in the time that the Lord, with his disciples, took communion, or took what is referred to as the Last Supper. It was the Passover. But yet that was the beginning of the Lord telling his disciples that I am going to be slain. I'm going to be crucified. I will shed my blood. And the disciples did not really understand the whole climax of what was taking place. But the Lord was preparing them for this great event that would change the world. And tonight we are again commemorating what Calvary represents to us. We have been born again by applying the acts of Calvary unto our lives. We understand it as repentance. We understand it as water baptism and Holy Ghost infilling. It was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when we partake of this communion, we are doing it with a purpose in mind. We are in remembrance of when we were first born of water and of spirit. And so this is tonight our communion service. I, as mentioned here on Sunday, I chose to forego foot washing and because of the COVID scare. And so I feel this is the right direction. And so tonight, this is what we are going to be partaking of as a body, as a church family, and that is communion. If you have your Bibles, I would like to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 16, and then reading one verse, verse number 11. Then I will go to the book of Matthew. I will read from the sixth chapter in one verse, and that would be verse number 33. Now, the psalmist, as he begins to pen the Psalms, these were many, I'll use the term songs that the Israelites would sing as their hymnal. And so these psalms were literal songs that were sang as worship unto the Lord. We find in this 16th chapter that David begins to speak about the Lord and his greatness and his ability to not just give promises, but to perform his promises to his people. Talks about sin's misery. Talks about those who have forsaken God. But he also then references how God still gives out his portions to his people. And those are the daily benefits of his blessings upon the church. And we are thankful for those blessings. And then he begins to talk about blessing the Lord. And he begins to talk about the blessings of serving the Lord. And then I want to get right to verse number 11. And the psalmist David wrote, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life." Now that word shew means show. You will show me the path of life. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. This is a very, very familiar setting of scripture. It was the writings of Matthew penning what he not only heard, but what he saw in the Lord's ministry. And it was Jesus. He was speaking there on the mount. And many refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins in three, what we call chapters. He begins to give some very pointed points. And he begins to give wisdom. And he begins to give direction. And he begins to give his will to those who heard. And so here he is speaking. And in chapter 6, it tells us that he spoke some on prayer, some on fasting, some on your investments. Are you investing in this world, or are you investing in heaven? And then he talks about the cross in life. There is a cross that we will be bearing. And then he comes to our verse in the 33rd verse of the book of Matthew chapter 6. And the Lord says, but seek ye first. So he talked about all these other things. And then he just kind of sums it all up. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things. In other words, he's saying, if you will seek me first, every need that you have, every bit of issues that you deal with, whatever it is, he said, if you will seek me first, all of these things will be added unto you. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord if he would talk to our hearts here tonight. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are mindful of your people. You know, Lord, exactly what we need. We ask you, Lord, that you would not only talk to our hearts, but you would inspire, you would encourage. I'm asking you, Lord, to allow your presence to be with us here in this place. Let your presence move. Let us, Lord God, be enriched with your word tonight, that it will not only strengthen us, but Lord, it will help us. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight I want to preach a little on this subject from these two verses of Scripture. That will show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I want to preach on this thought for this communion service. How close can we get to Jesus? How close can we get to Jesus? It seems in our world today that there are many who seem to be doing a pretty good job of running away from God. You know them. Some of them are in your own homes that you live, the family, relatives, friends. They are getting so far from God. When we as individuals recognize the importance of getting closer to God, they don't want to change. They don't want to feel bad about their lifestyle or their habits. So they stay as far from God as they possibly can. They're not wanting to be in his presence. But yet there are others who want to know him better, that want a greater relationship than ever before. We want to make him a part of our lives. We want some answers about life. And we know that those answers are only going to come in his presence. I believe that the reason that you are here tonight is that you want to get closer to God. And there is a way. The Bible tells us that in his presence there is fullness of joy. So we have got to pursue. We have got to get after his presence. And we understand that God inhabits praise. And so if I truly want to get into his presence, I've got to learn how to worship my way into his presence. Jesus told his disciples, as I read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, that if you will seek him first, you will find him. And when you find him, you will be in his presence. But there was an understanding, amen, that Jesus brought even to his disciples, that in order to know him and to get a closer relationship to him, that there was some cross-bearing that we had to endure. Nobody likes to carry a cross. Sometimes that cross can represent sickness. Sometimes that cross can represent hardships. Sometimes it may even represent a death. But the Lord said you've got to learn how to bear it to get into my presence. Too often individuals are putting the blame on God for hardships, for disappointments, for sorrow. In reality, that the Lord is not just allowing us to bear them ourselves, but he carries them with us. Life was meant to be enjoyable. If you're not enjoying life, it's because you're not getting in a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Life is meant to be enjoyable. We were meant to have an ongoing relationship with our Creator. But there was a terrible tragedy which brought sorrow and sadness into the lives of mankind. And that pain and that sorrow would be your inheritance, which we are going to all be born with. It was inherited. Sin. And sin brings pain. The only way that we can be truly happy is to find an answer to the problem of sin in our lives. And by finding the cause and the root of our problems with sin is the only avenue of getting closer to God. You've got to root out the sin issue. Because God does not dwell amongst sin. And so when we are able to draw close to God, is because we have dealt with the sin issue. We are flesh. We're not perfect. We got to deal with life and the issues that life throws at us. But it's those issues that cause us to stumble, that cause us to lose faith, that causes us to doubt. We got to learn how to deal with those issues so that we can get closer to God. In the days of Jesus Christ, he had disciples. Possibly most of you could name the 12. And if not, that could be your homework assignment. And next service, which is tomorrow, somebody ask each other, name the 12 disciples. I don't want to ask anyone to do it tonight. But there were 12 disciples that Jesus hand chose to be the first apostles of this apostolic church. And these disciples was called with a purpose. If I was to say that they were all perfect, then I would have to say they must have been born with angelic wings. But these were men just like us. They had and understood the hardness of life. They knew the issues that life brings. But he chose these 12 men not because they were perfect, but because he saw something in them that he could use. Yes, even Judas. Judas could have been mightily used by God. I use those terms tongue in cheek because Judas was used by God. But Judas allowed that inherited sin, it's called flesh, to get in his way. And he began to allow the covetousness, the greed of money to slip him up. But Judas was there when some of those mighty miracles in the life of Jesus were performed. He saw the mighty works of the Lord amongst humanity. But Judas never learned how to push the cares of this life away. But he held on to them. And that's what messed him up with money. If we're not careful, money can become our own worst enemy. And so it was that Jesus chose these 12. And out of these 12, there were three special disciples. You read it over and over in the scriptures. These three were those that were closest to him. It was Peter, James, and John. But I want to give somebody hope here this evening. And sometimes we look at these three men and we think, my, these were powerhouses. These were men of great faith. These were men, amen, that it just seemed like as the Lord, they all walked on water, but Peter was the only one. James and John, remember, were still in the boat. And so sometimes when we start talking about these types of men, we always come to the conclusion, well, that leaves me out. Hello? But even Peter, after the Lord found himself in the place that he did, what did Peter do? He left the disciples and he said, hey, boys, I'm going fishing. And several followed him. You remember the story? And then when Jesus came out, the Bible says that they saw him, and Peter, ashamed for what he looked like, he jumped in the water. Read about it. Peter wasn't perfect. You know, we think about Peter. He is a man that walked on water. Peter, man, he was the man that on the day of Pentecost preached that first message of salvation that tore Jerusalem upside down. But yet it was also Peter that warmed his hands at the fire when the Lord was up at Pilate's hall being accused that he could be crucified. Peter warmed his hands and denied he even knew the Lord. So I want to give somebody some hope tonight. Amen. I want someone to recognize before we leave here tonight that you, in spite of where you've been and possibly even what you've done, you can get as close to the Lord as Peter, James, and John. You can have a greater relationship than Peter, James, and John had received being with the Lord. But it was these three that were the closest of the 12. We find in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus met Jairus. You know the story. It's a very familiar story. It was because of Jairus, this little girl of 12 years old, was laying at home dying. And Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came seeking Jesus that he would come and heal his daughter. We know Jesus was making it his journey with Jairus to his home when that little woman with the issues of blood hindered Jesus' progress. And we know the story that Jesus heals this woman's issue. And while Jesus tarried, Jairus' daughter had died. Oh yeah, Jairus heard the news. His servants told him, don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. But Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. I'm here tonight to say to every one of us that are sitting here, it doesn't matter what life brings upon you. I'm here to say, be not afraid, only believe. Jesus let Jairus understand that it's not what we see, but it's what our faith believes that miracles take place. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yet after Jesus told Jairus to have faith, you can read it. It said Jesus told all the disciples not to follow him, save Peter, James, and John. Can you imagine being that close to Jesus that he calls you near to him when he performs the miraculous, when he will perform miracles, healings? Think about it. I'm talking about now. When you come and you fall at an altar in prayer and you are seeking the face of God, and God begins to move on you. And whether it be in that very night service, that there are those among us and someone comes near you, and all of a sudden a miracle happens in their life, and you were there and you saw it for yourself. You'll never be the same. I'm telling you, when you are there and you are helping somebody receive the Holy Ghost, that ought to inspire you that you want to see somebody else receive the Holy Ghost. If you've ever been near one who's received a miracle, I'm telling you, there's nothing like that feeling to know and to see when the Spirit of God moves on an individual and they're healed of whatever sickness is upon them. If you've ever seen blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, a lame man walk, amen, I'm telling you, I've seen it. Some of you have been around it, but I'm telling you, it needs to get a hold of us. If you've seen it once, you ought to have that faith that says, I want to see it again. I want to see it again. And let your faith rise that you will invite those souls to the house of God, that a miracle can take place. How close do you want to get to Jesus? How close do you want to get to Jesus? I'm not asking you about your neighbor, but I'm asking you as an individual, how close do you want to get to Jesus? Some left all. Some had to accept separation from what they once loved. Some gave their all. What are you willing to give to get closer to Jesus? How close you get depends on your desire. Some will only get so close but not too close, because they still want a piece of this world. Some will only get so close because they still want their way and their will. But to those who choose to get closer to God, then the worldly cares of their life is going to find the benefits of living for God more than they've ever imagined. Peace of mind, joy, real love. You'll save money because sin is expensive. You'll save your health because sin kills. You'll save your marriage and your family because sin destroys. You'll save your soul because eternity is a long time. Because sin will take you to hell for eternity. Repentance changes your direction and it changes your thinking. Repentance involves a desire to give God control of your life. It involves talking to God about your past, your present, and your future. It involves losing some pride. Repentance. But it's that repentance and that spirit of repentance that brings you closer to God. When you're baptized in water in Jesus' name, it involves an outward display of discipleship. It involves a washing or a remission of sins. It acknowledges the need of Christ and the putting away of a sinful lifestyle. When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, just like the disciples did on the day of Pentecost, it involves a surrendering of self. It involves a willingness to be filled with God's Spirit and thus engulfed in His presence. It involves a willingness to give God complete control of your life. And it also involves a whole new way of life. You see, it also involves a worship and a praise unto God. Living a new and better life, one that is changed and one that becomes holy. It involves a daily communion with God. I'm talking about once you are filled with the Holy Ghost. It involves a new lifestyle that's free from the old ways of life. It involves being happier and more excited about life than you've ever been before. It also involves a change of every aspect of your life. The way you talk. The way you look, the way you act, the places you go, and the things that you do. There really is a better way to live life. And the closer we are to Jesus, the better we'll be. The purpose of communion is just what I have been talking about. It's getting closer to the Lord. It's getting into His presence. When one looks at communion and its purpose, one must first consider that communion is actually a matter of obedience. Obedience. Everyone say obedience. Jesus was about to be crucified. And He was sharing the Passover meal with His disciples. As spoke earlier, I referenced the Passover was the time the Jews set aside to remember and to remind them of their deliverance from Egypt. Moses had been called by God to lead the people of God out of Egypt. But Pharaoh resisted. I think every one of us knows of the story. And there were 10 plagues sent by God. And the last of the plagues was when the death angel would pass over Egypt and would take the life of the firstborn son of every family. And the only way that one could escape the death angel and the death of a firstborn son was to take the blood of a lamb and put the blood upon the doorpost of their home. And when God came through Egypt, he saw the blood and he would pass over that house, and that firstborn son was spared. It was the Passover meal that the people were to eat three things. One was roasted lamb, unleavened bread, that was bread with no yeast, and bitter herbs. There that night in Egypt, they did not just eat a portion of that lamb, but the Bible says they had to eat it all. And if the family wasn't large enough to eat it all, they were to invite a family neighbor over, because all of that lamb had to be consumed. Can I tell somebody here tonight, if you truly want to live for God, you can't live for God half-heartedly. You can't live for God just any old way that you want to. But it's got to be with all your heart, with all your soul. And it was these three types of food that was there at this Last Supper prior to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus picked up the bread and he broke it. He explained to his disciples, just as this bread is broken, I too will be broken. Then he picked up the cup of the juice of the vine. And he explained to them that this juice of the vine is symbolic of my blood that is going to be shed for the sin of all mankind. These words Jesus instituted what is commonly called, as we partake of, as the Lord's Supper. But the real question is, what are we remembering here tonight? Tonight, when you pick up a piece of bread and this cup of juice of the vine, it is supposed to remind you of what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. The bread is to remind us of himself, Jesus, who was broken on the cross. He that was without sin took our sin upon him. The Apostle Peter tells it this way. He himself bore our sins and in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds or by his stripes we are healed. When we eat the bread and we hear that crunch of its crust, we are reminded of the brutal crushing of the Lord Jesus Christ as those nails were being driven into his hands and into his feet. We are remembering that it should have been us. But instead, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, willingly took our place. The juice of the vine reminds us of the blood that was poured out from the body of Christ as it was broken and beaten. The blood of Jesus was shed for the remission or the cancellation of our sins. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When you are baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are buried with him in baptism and by his name being pronounced over you. And with this water baptism, you are brought into a covenant with God through baptism. And as you drink of the juice, we are reminded of the blood of Christ that has taken away our sins. When we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, the bread and the juice causes the presence of the Lord to come and to be with us as we partake of this covenant once again. For it is a time of remembrance in what Christ did for each of us that have been born again. It was at the Lord's Supper that the Apostle Paul began to speak to the church of Corinth in regards to when you partake that you ought to examine yourself. And you ought to see within yourself that how close you really are or how far you are from God. The Apostle Paul wrote, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and he drinks of the cup. But we must understand that in all reality, none of us are truly worthy to participate in the Lord's Supper. But Christ's death, his suffering, and his resurrection in us makes us worthy of taking communion. Taking communion causes us to look back to the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. It causes us to look within us, to examine each life that brings actions and motives, amen, that makes the difference in every one of us. It causes us to look ahead. Participating in communion helps us to look ahead to the return of Jesus Christ, when we then will have a true communion with him. The bread and the juice are symbols of the sacrifice that has set you free. Where would I be if it wasn't for the Lord? Lord, we have come tonight for this most sacred event. It's not one that we take for granted, and it's not one that we just do haphazardly, but we've come tonight to partake of the most sacred event that reminds us of what he did for us. I want us to stand. We will be getting ready to take our communion. I wanted to give us plenty of time. So if I could, Brother Hale, if you could get our men situated. How we are going to take this communion, I need two ushers on either end. Two ushers on either end. On either end. Yeah. And then what we will do is the last pew will file out, walk down the aisle here, come across here, get their juice and the bread, and then they'll walk back down this aisle and they'll go in to their pew. Same way over on this side, as the ushers dismiss you to come, you'll come up this side, get your juice from Brother Lamb, your bread from Brother Carrillo, and then you'll go back to your pew and back over to your seat. We will take communion together. And so please wait before you partake of the bread and the juice until I direct us so that we can partake of this all together. As Jesus sat with his disciples, the Last Supper, the Bible says that they took this communion together. As Jesus explained to them about the bread and what it represented, each of them, as Jesus gave their direction, they tasted of that bread. And then when he spoke about the juice, they together took of the juice. And that's what we are going to do here tonight. And I'm waiting for our musicians. Did they do a good job tonight? They're going to be playing an instrumental as we come and get our bread and our juice. And then as you are in your pew while you're waiting for others to receive theirs, we're asking you to do your best to keep your mind on what the purpose of this service here tonight. So if we can get started. Ushers, would you help us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this night. We're thankful, Lord God, for that which you have given to us. We're thankful, Lord, that here tonight we are taking upon ourselves this type of communion, oh God, that helps us to remember what you have given to us. We're thankful, Lord, that you chose us, that we are able, Lord, to shed sin from us through your blood, and that we could have been washed in the water in the name of Jesus. We're thankful, Lord God, for the purpose of that which we are partaking of here tonight. As each individual, I pray that there is a reminder of where you brought them and how you took them from sin and you made their life what it never could have been before. We're asking you, Lord, tonight as we partake together of the bread and of the juice, that it brings to every single individual an understanding, and not only an understanding, but a knowledge and a remembrance of what you shed on Calvary for us. We're thankful, Lord, that you decided to give of yourself so that we could be free. I'm thankful, Lord, for this relationship that you have afforded us, the open door that you have made available, that we are able to walk in the Spirit, that our lives could be forever changed. I'm asking you, Lord, do a work here in this house here tonight as we partake, Lord God, of this communion. I ask in Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul gave us the instructions, again, as I stated in the book of Corinthians, of taking communion. In verse 23, it's Paul that says, "For I have received of the Lord what which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, also he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Then Jesus said, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Could we find a place to pray? Can you find a place to pray? Can you find a place around these altars or in your pews? Amen. And let the Holy Ghost begin to minister to you. This is his purpose. This was his reason for us to partake, was so that we would be in remembrance of what he did for our lives, where he has brought us from, and what he's kept us. Oh, let's pray.